that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll
and
around.
And that old wheel
again.
Will roll yeah, around again. And that old wheel of the week is rolled around again. And here it is, Saturday morning. Oh, about 38 degrees out at the Radio Ranch. You're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Got the Wranglers here on the phone and in the Radio Ranch broadcasting studio. Hope you'll pour you a cup of coffee and join us. We'll be right back.
Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And just like the song says, that old wheel does roll around again. And like we said at the beginning, it has rolled around to Saturday morning once again. And you are listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We thank you for joining us. It is the 24th day of September, and we are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Richard.
How is Jason today?
Doing well, doing real well.
Hopefully you've got some good coffee down there in Colorado as well.
Absolutely.
And I know Kyle does. I see him sipping a cup over here. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And this is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and here we are in front of the Radio Ranch microphone once again. Time sure seems to be flying, doesn't it?
It sure does.
We've had some... Oh.
Hello?
Yeah, I just had a little burp on the encoding computer, so we'll see if we can get that going back again. But anyway, it is live with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, 24th day of September. Kyle, would you open us up in prayer
this morning? Oh God, my Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We ask that you be with us, guide us, and direct us today. That you watch over us and watch over our families and watch over our extended families, our brethren and sisters in Christ, and be with them. And let your Holy Spirit dwell in us and upon us to help protect us and to help guide us in our thoughts and our words this morning on the air, and to help anybody out there that needs to have ears to hear and eyes to see. Not that we'll say anything that profound, but just your word, Lord, that will hit them somewhere where they need to be hit, even if it's us. We just ask for this to be a glorious day to you, and we thank you for this day and for your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, Jason, I'll ask you, when we came in this morning, I showed Kyle, that email that, or a similar email that you talked about and we prayed about at the end of the Wednesday night prayer meeting. That was about the Comet LNN alignment, and seems like how all the so-called world leaders are kind of taking vacation, maybe huddling down in their holes. Have you heard anything more about that?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Have you guys been following this Mountain Guardian simulated terrorism event going on down in Denver?
Well, I did get an email on it, and just yesterday morning, and it looked like about most of the Denver fire, police, Homeland Security, anybody and everybody were involved in something along those lines.
Yeah, well, for people that don't know what it is, down in Denver Friday, they had a terrorist exercise. And the interesting thing about it is they're talking, they had over 100 agencies involved, state, federal, local. I mean, everything from three hospitals were taking part in it, the police department, the sheriff's department, the every agency you can imagine. I mean, because I can't even imagine what 100 agencies is. I mean, I don't know what the over 100 agencies being involved in this would be. I mean, I could think of a handful, but I think I'd be lucky if I could think of 25. I don't know what the other, you know, 75 to 100 would be, but they were marching the streets down in Denver in certain areas with machine guns and battle fatigues, and had areas roped off and had signs all over the place. And I read one article, and they were saying that they even had 300 Boy Scouts that had volunteered to help be victims of this so-called made-up terrorist attack. And they doused them with fake blood and gave them all descriptions of what happened to them, you know, whether they were hit with glass or they were hit with bullets, and then they rushed them to one of three of the hospitals, and the hospitals took part in the exercise as well. Well, nothing like this has happened. I mean, they've never done anything like this, which is kind of interesting, and it's interesting to look at the comments just from the local newspapers around here. You know, they have these forums where people can comment on the news articles. And, you know, people's comments are they've had enough of this. They're like, you know, enough with the terrorism stuff. You know, what are they thinking is going to happen? Are they preparing for something? Do they know something they're not telling the people? Or, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, this could be something that's just a complete diversion, smoke and mirrors, to something that's going on somewhere else in the country as well. And but it's one of these things that they had people coming in, flying into Denver, trying to figure out what was going on. And I looked at a lot of the articles, and nobody could really tell what is going on. We know that Obama and his family are supposedly in Denver, and they're making a big deal about that. But the thing that got me was that LNN or LNN alignment, however you say it. Looked at a lot of different stuff as far as that goes. And, you know, from what I can tell is when that alignment occurs, there's a lot of earthquakes across the land. And, you know, you could look at these earthquakes in Chile and in Fukushima and all of these different earthquakes that we've had. The big ones have been approximately 180 days apart, and they've all tied into that planetary alignment.
And that's going on right now, isn't it? Here through what, the end of just about the end of the month?
Yeah, some say the end of the month, and some say it goes into the first part of next month. But it is, yes, it is going on right now, and I don't know if the two have anything to do with each other, but it is interesting to look at how many government agencies are in recess or not in their offices, and how many people are in Denver. That's what was really interesting. I mean, there was a lot of talk about these underground tunnels under DIA. You know, were these tunnels, were they using these to practice their exercises? Are these exercises just for the elite? Because the amount of corporations that were having corporate meetings in Denver over this, and had agreed to take part in this exercise were just astounding. I mean, and the thing was is nobody really knew about this as far as anybody that I've talked to until
it
just
a couple
came days
up,
ago.
It just came up right at the very end, didn't it?
Yeah, even Alex Jones, you know, which is usually on top of things like this, talked about it on Thursday or Friday, and that's the first time that they had heard anything about it. I mean, a lot of these conservative, so-called conservative talk show hosts, even the talking heads didn't talk about it until Thursday or Friday. Interesting.
What they do in secret.
Yeah, well, that's exactly. They're doing things in secret. It was another thing that was pretty interesting is this morning, early this morning, Putin announced that he was going to run for president of Russia. Thought that was kind of interesting.
So the Russians haven't just kind of got out of the limelight these days.
No, no. And what he's been head of all their military operations for the last 8 years and is known as a communist, no
yep.
good son of hell for what he's been doing. But now they want him. Medved wants to, I think Medved is that how you say it? Isn't that their prime minister now?
Medved, I think so.
Yeah, he wants to step down and be vice president. He wants Putin to run for president, and Putin agreed to it. And they announced that today, and the Russians are all, well, they're thinking this is just the greatest thing since sliced bread. They think they can conquer the world now if they get Putin in there ever to be president of their country.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, I haven't heard anything about that on the Russian side.
That's because we didn't get up as early as Jason, I guess.
We didn't.
So what else is going on out there in the country? Have you got any news articles that have come across your desk this week, Richard?
I've got one. We're riding cattle today. Kyle and I got my son out getting a couple horses ready, and today's the day we get with the cowboy next door, and he's kind of been helping us out, and we're going up to bring the cattle in from the summer range. Oh, it's not these 200 and 300 head herds that you get to see, used to see on the you know, like the old John Wayne cowboy movie where they, you know, move 10,000 head from Texas up to Abilene or up to Kansas or something. But we've just got a few pair we've got to go get and round down. But I did see came from the Spokesman Review, and I was sharing it with Kyle just a little bit last night, but I'll just hit the highlights on here. Excuse me. You know, the grizzly attacks, grizzly bears, are real high profile this year. You know, there's been a couple of people that have died out in Yellowstone.
Yeah, there have been quite a few people that have went to jail for shooting them.
There has. You know, just recently, what was it, last week, some hunters were out, and they thought they were, the story I heard, they were hunting black bear, and they shoot this bear, and they go tracking him. And when they get up to it, lo and behold, it's a big, you know, monster grizzly. And it goes after one of the guys. The partner yells and tries to get the bear's attention, and he succeeds. And the bear basically kills him. And the other hunter kills the bear. But he did kill one of the hunters. That was just, I think, early this last week. And so, anyway, high profiles. Grizzlies are high profile right now. Well, back in July, and this just made it out in the news on September 18th where I saw it. But in July, July 30th, Aaron Bolster of Swan Mountain Outfitters up in... that's up like Flathead National Forest between West Glacier and Hungry Horse, Montana. So up here in Horse, Montana, her and her 18-hand horse, Tonk, are out taking a guiding 8 clients on a horse ride. You know, and it's just a little hour-long horse ride, you know. They're out riding. She's been working there several years, the way it looks like. And so this girl's got her guide. You know, she's the guide. She's got 8 people. One of the 8 people is this little 8-year-old boy on a horse. And it's his first ride. And so, let me get here. It says, they've been seeing bears daily. The wranglers name the bears so they can let each other know where they are. Usually the bears just keep feeding in the distance or they run away. Just seeing them is a treat for us and our guests. And now they're talking about seeing them 200 or 300 yards away. If you remember, Kyle, when we rode, what was it last year when we rounded up the cattle?
Mm-hmm.
Down in the Centennial Valley. And we were riding in about 300 yards off was the
herd of elk.
We saw the herd of elk, mm-hmm. you know, and so you see them off in the distance. And out here, everything is so wide open that it's easy for that to happen. So anyway, their training is avoid trouble with a moose or a bear. You know, you don't ride up and, you know, try to photograph them close or anything like that. She says it was a pleasant ride until we came around a corner on the trail and my horse stopped firm and wouldn't move. He never refuses to go, so that caught my attention. But right then, a spike white-tailed deer burst out of the brush and hit her horse's left front shoulder and bounces off. And so, you know how trails are. It's all brushy and thick beside it. She says as her horse tonk spun from the impact, she saw a huge grizzly bear crashing through the forest right at the group in pursuit of the deer. The horses panicked and guests grabbed saddle horns for the ride of their lives. So here, can you imagine that, Jason? You're riding down. You know,
wow.
And all of a sudden a deer bounces off your horse because he's running, because he busted out of the brush. I mean, that would be exciting enough.
Yeah, it would.
But then here's a grizzly chasing the deer. She says, seven of the horses sensed the danger, scrambled around, and galloped back on the trail toward the barn. But this horse named Scout bolted perpendicular to the trail, meaning running off the trail into the timber. And that's the horse that had the eight-year-old boy on it. And she says the deer peeled off and joined the horses sprinting down the trail. So the bear just continued running right past me. I'm not sure the bear even knew the roles had changed, but now it was chasing a horse instead of a deer. So, you know, the deer runs back with the horses, and the one horse with the little boy takes off in the direction the deer was running, and the grizzly's still in hot pursuit. And, you know, this little girl here, Erin, I say little girl, what is she? 25-year-old, about Seth's size, not very big, little blonde. She says, the grizzly was zeroed in on Scout, which is the horse, and the boy, the isolated prey in the woods. She says the horse tonk responded to Bolster's heels and his ribs. As she spun the big fella around, they wheeled up out of a 360 and bolted into the trees to wedge between the predator and the prey. She says the boy was bent over, feet out of the stirrups, clutching the saddle horn and the horse's neck. And she says, I bent down, screamed and yelled, but the bear was growling and snarling and staying very focused on Scout, this horse with the boy on it. She says, as I tried to circle back towards Scout, I realized I had to get Tonk, her horse, to square off and face the bear. We had to get the bear to acknowledge us, and we did. We got its attention, and the bear charged. She says, so I charged at the bear. So can you see this? Here's this probably 800 or 900 pound grizzly running after prey. And here's this little 100-pound blonde guide on this big 18-hand-high horse. And she's got this horse charging right at the, you know, head on to the grizzly bear. And they're just getting closer and closer. And but anyway, she said, with a ton of horse, boulder-sized hooves, and a fire-breathing blonde thundering at it. I like the way the guy wrote this. The bear came within about 10 feet before skittering off to the side. So it worked. You know, she bluffed the bear. The bear took off. And she says she gathered the boy up with her on Tonk, grabbed the other horse's lead rope, and trotted down the trail. She says, the boy was in shock. I looked back. I could see the bear had continued to go away through the woods, but I had another 5 or 10 minutes of riding before I got back to the group. And so, you know, I'm picturing this, Jason. She had to be, like, from the ranch down to the other side of the river, at least, as far as that far
away. Oh, yeah.
Through the timber, you know, probably up a hill and down a hill. And she says, not until she got back with her riders, all okay and standing in various stages of confusion, did she start to shake. She said she was especially concerned about the boy's father, who probably suffered the most terror in the ordeal. And this is how it ends. She says, he was fine, the father, and so was the boy. And she says, I got my biggest tip of the season. And then she ended up buying the horse. The horse was out of Wyoming. You know, they bring these wrangle horses in and that type thing. But she says she wasn't about to send him back to Wyoming with the other pack horses. She says, 2 weeks ago, I closed the deal and bought him. She was wrapping up the 2011 season. But anyway, that was just a really, you know, real positive, good news picture of this little you know, 25-year-old blonde Wrangler smiling on the front page with this big old horse. You know, to me, that was a good news story.
Yeah.
And I think that there's good news stories like that that happen every day, that happen all over, stories of deliverance where God Almighty delivers, you know. I mean, we've sure seen stories where the grizzly bear, you know, got the person. What is it we've said sometimes? You know, sometimes you get the bear.
Sometimes the bear gets you.
Sometimes the bear gets you. And you know, the people, the organizations, the antichrist that own the media outlets, they could put this type of stuff out every day. This could be headlines. These people hurting their horse could be on Good Morning America, right there in New York City. Look here, America, we're bringing this Wrangler in who saved this little boy and blah, blah, blah. Good news, good news. They could do that, but they don't. It's almost like it's a conspiracy, huh? Anyway, I saw that news article and I thought, you know, that a good article, but there again, the media doesn't want to put that kind of stuff out.
No, they like to put the articles out where somebody's attacked by a grizzly, and the grizzly dies because somebody shoots it, and then they get investigated and go to jail for shooting a grizzly.
Yeah.
I remember talking to a game warden years ago, and I said, okay, at what point is it okay to kill one of these things? And he said, well, if I can look at you and I can tell that you were attacked and you have claw marks on you or bite marks on you, I'd probably let you go. But other than that, I'd probably have to take you into the station and arrest you.
And question you, put the spotlight on you, and ask you for, you know, 10 hours the same question to see if you change your story.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, good news. Some good news. I thought, man, that's my kind of Wrangler right there.
You mean, are you saying something negative about me?
Oh, no. No, not at all. Kyle's my kind of Wrangler, too. Different kind of Wrangler. Different kind of Wrangler. Different calling.
I don't know, but I wouldn't want to wait till I had scratches on me before I could do something about it. I think that's just taking a little bit too big of a risk.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's being stupid.
Yeah, no doubt.
There was a time, I mean, there was no bear, but I remember a coyote one time, and I didn't know coyotes did this. I don't know if I got too close to the den or what, but I was deer hunting, and I was kind of walking this fence, and I seen a coyote, and I stopped, and I scoped it, you know, but I didn't want to ruin my hunt, so I didn't squeeze, you know, so I put my rifle down. Well, about the time I put my rifle down, it came running at me, and I'm thinking, well, it doesn't know what I am, you know, so I kind of waved my arms, you know, just to get it to stop, you know, and it just kept running, and I'm like 10 feet from the fence that I'm by, and it just kept coming and kept coming, and I could see it was just about to launch itself to jump over the fence, and I just lifted up my rifle and shot, and luckily I hit it, you know, right in the head and killed it, but it died just right there, you know, maybe 12 feet, because it didn't ever reach the fence, but it was like, you know, if I would have waited, you know,
it'd have jumped on you,
and I didn't even know coyotes would do something like that, you know, but it sure did, you know. So I cut.
Was it a really big coyote?
No, I think it was medium size.
Okay.
But I did cut the tail off and take it into camp with me, you know. But it was ridiculous. So I can't imagine a grizzly bear or anything with any size coming at you, because, you know, I mean, to tell you the truth, you know, I was shaky after I shot it. You know,
oh,
I mean,
sure.
Because I didn't understand what was, you know, I seen coyotes all the time, but I never seen anything like that. Never heard of anything like that. So it was bizarre.
No, I never have either. That's interesting.
We've got a neighbor up the road, Terry, and he's guided up in Alaska sometimes, and I know he's told stories that, you know, as you're guiding with somebody shoots a bear, and usually on bear what are they, the bighorn sheep hunts.
Right.
And he said, yeah, his closest encounter was like that. You know, the guide, he's guiding with a guy, and you're basically backup to make sure that the, you know, the Yahoo from Illinois doesn't come out there and get killed. And the guide shot a bear, and it was wounded, and it was coming after him. Mm-hmm. And he had that Jason, it hit close to home with you. He had that Marlin 336 in 4570.
Oh, nice.
Lever action. And he said he's putting rounds in the bear because the bear's charging him. And I think he said he put four rounds into it. And he said when the bear fell, he leaned forward and could reach out and touch the bear with his gun. You know, and, yeah, that's a little tough. So, well, folks, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. You got the Pictures for America Radio Ranch Wranglers sitting here drinking coffee. Kyle and myself are sitting here in the office at the ranch, and Jason's down by the print shop in LaPorte. And you just never know. We never know. That's why you never know which way these broadcasts are going to go and what we're going to talk about, because we never know.
We don't.
We just don't.
Jason, do you think the president and his family went to those underground bunkers there in under the airport or wherever they're supposed to be down
there?
Well,
I think it's very possible that they're saying that they're in Denver. I think they very well could be in Colorado Springs down at Norfolk or whatever they're calling the new NORAD, which is where actually they say that anytime there's a disaster coming or natural disaster or an attack upon the U.S., that is where the president goes, is to Colorado Springs, Colorado, which is just south of Denver. And I think it's very possible that they got something going on over there, and they just don't want to tell people that, you know, he's there, because people would panic if they knew that he was in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, maybe Michelle's just picking out some new curtains.
Oh, yeah, that could be, too. I don't know. It's interesting. What do you guys know about this satellite?
I didn't see any news this morning, but it was supposed to crash down sometime yesterday.
Last I heard, it was going over America into the Pacific and somewhere near Hawaii, but I don't think they thought it was going to hit Hawaii. But that's what I heard last night on my way home, 10 o'clock or whatever. That's what they were saying on the ABC News.
Yeah, I didn't get to check anything to see if you know what the last bit of it was. Did you hear anything, Jason?
I haven't heard a thing. I tried finding stuff out about it, but I could not find a thing out about it. If it hit, or if they knew where it hit, if you know, if it was still delayed, or what the deal was.
I think they said it was in our atmosphere at 10 o'clock last night, and it was.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it was going down in the Pacific, but you know, don't take that, you know, because I wasn't listening that well, but because I had the radio down, and then when I heard them talking about it, I turned it up. And but they were saying something about the Pacific Ocean, so that's probably where they were at least acting like it was going to land.
That is interesting. Very interesting. The thing is you never know what they're going to tell you, and if they're going to tell you the truth or not, you know, and it could be all smoke and mirrors keeping us on something else. I mean, we could be.
Yep. Well, NASA, anyway, CNET is saying that it fell. Let's see. Nope. Oh, I had it and then I lost it. How about that? Anyway, said it hit about an hour ago. Or it fell down. But they're not saying where. Fell back to Earth between 11 p.m. and something. Anyway, this computer doesn't work too well.
So last night.
Broadcasting. So, yeah, sometime. But it didn't say where. So, Jason, I don't know if you got a computer there you can look, but I guess they said it. I had another little thing. You know, we talked about, we kind of did a 9/11 10-year review from the church a couple weeks ago on 9/11. And it seems like that other people are putting stuff out as well. I had a couple of statistics on this war on terror that we had kind of talked about. And I think this, you know, Obama going to Denver and everything going on down there ties into it. But you realize since 9/11, since the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and all that, that we have, federal and state governments are spending about, how much would you think a year? Ballpark?
$10 billion.
Well, it says here about $75 billion a year on domestic security. That doesn't include the old, you know, Halliburton in Afghanistan and Kellogg Root and Brown and all that good stuff that's overseas.
That's just the stuff like they did this weekend in Denver.
Right. Yeah. Right. They list it like as, you know, the fancy radio networks. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm on the volunteer fire department, and yeah, we got fancy radios. I can tell you we did. And that came out of 9/11. because when 9/11 happened, one of the things they said is that the police couldn't talk to the fire, the Port Authority police couldn't talk to the downtown police. You know, everybody had their own radios. So since then, in 10 years, billions of dollars, and I think Wyoming, we're about the last state to get anything at all like that. But, you know, all the surveillance cameras that have gone everywhere and the airport screeners and you know, but what the Department of Homeland Security has done, that's one of the things we got out of 9/11. And we put a little article in our newsletter that is at the presses right now, at the print shop. So that's where Mr. Kyle, I guess, will be next week, is finishing that newsletter up, getting that thing printed. Jason got that started yesterday. But basically, Department of Homeland Security has grown to be the third largest cabinet department. And they never experience budget cuts. It's always more money, more money, more money. You know, even the Defense Department sometimes gets budget cuts, but they don't. But with everything they've done for 10 years, $75 billion a year, okay, and all the screening that you go through trying to fly and, you know, empty out your pockets, well, they found, you know, lots of things people try to bring on there, from loaded guns and knives. And it's interesting because every now and then you'll see, you know, Joe Schmo over here, you know, has a loaded gun in the airport that he forgot in his bag, or even just an unloaded gun, and they arrest him and throw him in jail, and, you know, he's in trouble for almost the rest of his life. But then you'll find, you know, there'll be some sports star or a congressman, you know, that'll do the same thing, and they bring him in, and it makes the headlines, but they go on their flight, you know. So, anyway, but they have never, in 10 years, $75 billion a year, so that'd be $750 billion of our great-grandchildren's money that they've spent, but they've never identified a terrorist that was about to board a plane.
Surprise, surprise.
Wow.
Yeah. So is it this war on terror that, you know, that's what we got? Don't you feel safer now? I think that's in our newsletter. Don't you feel safer now? You know?
And they get the people so brainwashed. You know, I was watching on the news last week, and I don't know if it was at Denver or what, but there were a bunch of people going and doing an event, you know, and now they don't frisk them just from the, you know, shoulders to the waist. Now they go all the way down, you know. And the people, of course, the people they interview, they don't probably show the ones that don't agree with them. But, you know, oh, it's just for our safety, you know.
That's the mantra.
Yeah.
It's for your safety.
Because we don't want anything bad to happen. And it's like, well, nothing's ever happened bad, you know, other than filling you up now as you walk through the stadium. I mean,
yeah.
But anyway, it's a brainwashing.
I remember that. That was for that Denver game last Sunday, wasn't it?
It probably was, yeah.
It was. And I remember seeing that in the local news there had quite a bit on it. They were talking about it, how new it was and how it was different. But yeah, this $1 trillion war on terror, we at least now we have surveillance cameras everywhere. Everywhere. You know, they've just become second nature. It's almost like if you don't see a camera somewhere, that's the rarity anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, down here in Colorado, it's interesting because they did put them on just about every intersection. When you're driving down the road, if you go downtown Old Town Colorado, they've got them mounted on top of the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And they brag about how you not being able to go anywhere in downtown Fort Collins and not be on camera. And that's outside on the streets. You know, and you think about that number of cameras combined with the number of cameras that are in the businesses, and now the ones that are on the streets where they can look in your car while you're driving down the road, it's just amazing.
Right. You know, people don't realize, but Walmart has got one of the absolute best and I say best, you know, highest quality. Let me say that. I don't know if it's best or good, but their surveillance cameras, I mean, in their parking lots, you know, they record, or can anyway, record tag numbers in and out of their parking lot. I remember here in little old Laramie, we had about 4 years ago a couple of just absolute idiots that went to Walmart about 11:30 at night. And I mean, our Walmart at the peak time is not as busy as probably a Walmart down in Fort Collins at its slowest time. You know, we're a little bitty Laramie up here, 30,000 people. So these idiots go into Walmart about 11:30 at night, and they steal a couple of hoods, you know, like the pullover balaclava or face mask type hoods. They steal them. Okay, well, the Walmart cameras see everything. I mean, they see the women at the register, the people at the register counting money. I mean, they have a camera on everything. So then these three, I think it was three idiots, then they go to a little store in town and they rob the store, you know, at midnight. And they get about a half mile out of town, and, you know, of course, everybody and their brother, all the police are on them, and they arrest them. And they threw them under the jail. They were, you know, three of these meth heads or whatever. But they showed, they had surveillance pictures they showed from Walmart. I mean, they had them dead in the store. They showed what they were wearing in full color. In the parking lot, the vehicle they got in, they showed the tag number. And then also in the store. The store itself, just a little convenience store, had the same thing. And people say, see, that's good. See, they caught those people. That's good. Yeah, but they just slap them on the wrist and, you know, they'll spend a few years in jail, but we'll pay for that. And then off we go, and they'll just get out and do it again.
Yeah, it's interesting. Did you see this week that Donald Rumsfeld was stripped of his immunity for act of torture against U.S. citizens while in office? That was kind of interesting. Seventh Circuit Court made a ruling on that today. Or not today, but this week.
I didn't.
That'll make a lot of liberals happy because, boy, they hated him when he was back doing stuff.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, what did he not do that they wanted him to do?
Yeah.
That's the exact thing. You know, when you see these things reported and when they're released in the news media and on CNN and Fox and ABC and MSNBC, and there's not a bean's worth of difference between any of them. They talk about, oh, this is the right-wing media, the right media and the left media, and this is the liberal media and the conservative media. No, that's just the media. It's like news. It's all bad news when they release it. But when they release it, you know, it's always, they always have their esoteric message, their hidden message. So you're right. What did he do? He's made somebody mad. He didn't toe the line now for them to do something like that and to release it. You see that with Obama and the Israelis and the AIPAC, you know, the American Israeli political action committee. And, you know, Obama's never really been considered a, what they call a friend of Israel, at least of the Israelis over there. But he's bowing down and kowtowing to them. And so, you know, when he does that, he has to do that for re-election so that he can have the, or at least so he thinks he can get re-elected. Because you have to be friends with the Antichrists to do anything here in this country. We kind of made mention of that in the next newsletter and said, you know, why does God allow these things to happen to us? And it's because as a nation, we love the Antichrist.
Well, that's fact. And, you know, even if you can't put a finger on it and say Antichrist like we can, you know, what you can say is it's a lack of freedom. And freedom has been taken away, and, you know, and we all know the scripture, you know, where liberty is, there you have, you know, the Spirit of God. I mean, that's how you know, can deal with whatever you got to deal with the Holy Spirit in charge, is by having freedom. And when they take freedoms away from you, you know, and you let them, you know, it is a spirit of Antichrist then, because you don't have the Spirit of God, you know, that you can allow to let you make a decision, sometimes a tough decision, sometimes an easy decision. But now people are making decisions according to their lack of freedom. You know, and it takes away from, you know, having a godly nation. You know, I mean, I don't know if that makes sense to anybody out there, but it all goes back, you know, you call it communism, you call it, you know, Judaism or whatever you want to call it, it's a lack of freedom, you know, and a lack of liberty.
A lack of liberty.
Which will allow the Holy Spirit to work and for you to have a godly nation rather than an Antichrist nation, which is basically a communist nation. You know? I heard on my way back from Fort Collins yesterday, I heard them talking about the protocols, you know. Of course, they don't mention the Jews, but they do mention the rich, you know, and they mention the Rothschilds, and they mentioned, you know, some things, you know, but this was on a 10,000 watt station that only reaches, you know, a few people, you know, but, you know, I mean, at least they were talking about it, but they weren't saying really, they'd go to a certain point and stop, you know. But at least they were going to that point. But
yeah.
But it's a lack of freedom. It's a lack of people, you know, being able to think for themselves and saying what they really mean on the air, you know, because you could tell they knew a little more than they were saying, but they were stopping because they didn't have freedom.
For fear of the Jews, that's nothing new, is it? For fear of the Jews. Saw a thing came out of Texas. You know, boy, Texas had their hands full with some fires for a while, but
did they get those under control?
For the most part, they did. They did. That, you know, Bastrop fire was pretty tough here a couple weeks ago. Burned, they said the fires in Texas destroyed maybe 1,400 homes total, but I think around 600 just in the little community of Bastrop.
Well, thank goodness for FEMA.
Boy, I got an article from, it was a person down in Texas. Where's it at? Over here somewhere. Oh, it was a Texas report where they talked about the Tri-County fire in Montgomery, Grimes, and Waller County Memorial Week of 2011. And just got a real good report, you know, a couple of local people got together, made some phone calls, a news crew came out. That's outside of Houston, I guess. And, you know, they put the call out for donations and for things to do for all these. And that's back in Memorial Day now. That's a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. For all these to help out the firefighters and the evacuees and that kind of stuff. And, you know, the response was just overwhelming. And they talked about how, you know, they had everything set up. They had a little place. They had warehouses. They had, you know, where the firemen could come back in and, you know, get a shower, eat, get some sleep, and then get back out on the fire line, and that's just how they do it. And it usually, when you have a big fire, it takes 2 or 3 days to get the state or the federal resources there. You know, it's always the local resources that are doing the initial attack. But anyway, it just talks about how, you know, locally they just really threw this together, set it all up, and when FEMA did come in, you know, FEMA was telling him, oh, no, we'll take over this, and you can't do that, and such. And they basically told FEMA to pound sand.
Good.
They said, we've got it taken care of. Don't worry about it. And she mentions in the article something about, you know, FEMA brought them some T-shirts or something like that. And other than that, they just took care of it.
Yeah, because people, if they, you know, there they were in probably a situation where they actually had brotherly love for one another. And they wanted to help each other out.
Right.
And then here comes the government, the communist government, and they try to take that away. You know,
right.
No, we'll handle this. You guys, you know, get
right.
back, you know.
Look, can I ask you to do something? Redefine when you said people. Because I didn't read in here that the Zulus were helping them. And they didn't say that the Chinese people that live in these towns were out helping them.
Well, I'll redefine people as kinsmen of probably Israelite race. I mean, that's who has brother. You know, I mean, that's,
right. Yeah.
That's
now you're a racist, Kyle. Now you're Cowboy Kyle.
Well, it's
the
not the first time.
But it is that way. If you look, people, back in your Bibles, isn't that what the new covenant is? Is that he'll put his laws, statutes, and judgments on his people's heart. And so you're absolutely right. So when those type things happen, it's his people that have that brotherly love, that have that compassion. You know?
Well, and the deal of it is, you know, I mean, I have no idea who's in charge of FEMA or who showed up there, but the foes is how the King James put it, at least in Psalms 83, the foes that it says come against Israel You know, other than Ishmael, probably all the foes that it lists are Caucasian-looking people, because they're the son of Lot. You know, they're the son of concubines. They're the sons and daughters of people that originated through the race of Abraham, or at least Noah. You know, it doesn't really list the Chinese, the Japanese, the Ethiopians here. It lists those who maybe look like us but aren't us. They're the tares. They're the seed of the devil, basically. You know what I mean? And so I mean, it's not just racist here. You know, it's godly people versus ungodly people, wicked people versus, you know, good people. And, you know, they're the ones that drive me absolutely, utterly, you know, to an anger that I want to do something about it, because I expect other races to not like our race. I expect that. That's kind of nature in itself,
right?
You know, but when they look like us and they act like this and they talk like us, but they're not.
And they praise him with their lips, but their hearts are far from it.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Psalms 83. I had marked a piece in my Bible this morning too. You know, in 2 it says, "Your enemies make an uproar," and that's what it is. There are enemies of God, and you're right. A lot of times they look just like us. They do. You know, it goes on and says, "Those who hate you, God," is who it means there. "Those who hate you, who hate God, have exalted themselves, and they make shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones." And that's just what they do.
I mean, you think about Lot's children. You know, Lot was Abraham's nephew. Abraham killed for Lot when Lot was kidnapped.
So did God.
You know, so did God.
God killed for Lot.
But then Lot got into some trouble. You know, for one, his wife was turned into a pillar of salt. And to keep his seed line going, he did something with his daughters no man should ever do. Well, from that point on, his seed line was cursed. You know, and then they grow up, you know, however thousands or millions there are, you know, and they are an enemy of ours because they are cursed people, you know. Mm-hmm. And people need to understand that, you know. And yes, we're not supposed to pull the weed out with the tares. So some of the tares we got to leave alone, but that doesn't mean we can't identify them as tares, you know. And how do you do that? Well, you look at the fruit, you know. And these people, they come in like they did at those fires, and they tell people, "Stop helping people. Stop help putting these fires out. We want to do it our way, and probably let it burn, you know, and let houses be destroyed and you know, people not get the water they want like they did in Hurricane Katrina."
Yep.
You know, stopping all the trucks and the help and the people that actually have a kind heart, you know. No, you can't go in there, you know. We're going, cuz some of the people I've seen on the news, they look like us, and they were being wicked, you know. So their fruit was shown, you know. Anyway,
very
well,
good.
Well, and that scripture, that part that Richard read, you know, it says, "With your enemies making uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against you." You know, and we don't even know if they know what they're doing. If we're dealing with creatures of instinct, you know, it could be very possible that they're doing this, and they think that they're doing something good for humanity, something good for the people that they're trying to help. And it's just one of those instincts that's programmed into their DNA, and that's what we're dealing with.
You're absolutely right. It's like when a woman in a Jezebel spirit wants to teach in the church, other than like a Sunday school or to teach other women like the Bible directs. They think they're doing good. They'll have the spirit that, "Oh, but I'm being led of God," right? And they think they're doing good, but it's that, you're right, it's that instinct. It's
I even hate women more than Richard, just to let you guys know out there, because I don't even think they should teach Sunday school.
Well, I meant like a children's class.
Oh, I see.
What I mean, but let me clarify that too. Yeah,
as long as they're just little girls.
Like children's. Yeah, a little children's class or something like that, you know. But one of the reasons that's...
So you guys wouldn't be for having a woman president?
President of what?
President of the Sunday school, right? No. But that's just how.
And I was kidding about hating women, people. If there's anybody listening to that, you know, I've had a wife for 28 years and I love her dearly. I have had a mother my whole life and I love her dearly.
Well, that's good.
That's right. That's right. But it's just like that coyote that was coming after you, Kyle. It's just a creature of instinct. Yep. It just does what it does.
Yeah, and like Jason's saying, you know, if it feels good to them, you know, they probably think they're doing good.
They do. They think because they work for the government that it's the government's job to do it the way the government sees fit. And it's contrary to the law that's written on the people's heart, you know, to go and help.
Well, and I don't want people to think that, you know, that your enemy has to look different than you. You know, I mean, you think about Jacob and Esau. They were twins. They were brothers. They were in the womb together. You don't think that they looked alike?
Yeah, there had to be some similarities, that's for sure.
There had to be similarities, and over their times, just with the way that these genes have changed, and, you know, people, your enemy can look just like you. It can look so much like you that, you know, could be a family member.
Yeah.
You know?
It was for Jacob and Esau.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, a brother.
It was.
And didn't David talk about that, you know? He says, I could handle it if it were an enemy that I knew, if it were one of these, you know, slope-headed Hittites that I could recognize, but it was you, my brother. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we need to realize that. And Kyle, you hit it right. You hit that nail on the head. It's by their fruits. By their fruits. You know, if you've got friends out there, people, and they whisper to you, did you hear Kyle's message a few weeks ago? He did a very good job of describing those ungodly ones. You know, by their fruits. You know, let me ask you this.
People, and the fruits are, you know, one of the fruits that you can look at too is, you know, what do they think of God's law? You know, how do they think God's law should be handled? You know, do they hunger and thirst for truth and righteousness and justice? And, you know, do they want to better these things or do they want to destroy? Are they coming? And a good way to look at a lot of things is, okay, good and evil, right or wrong, Satan's kingdom, God's kingdom. Now, and just start categorizing things. You know, when something comes along, you can say, okay, is this good or is this bad?
And it's going to be one or the other.
And it's going to be one or the other. And is this from Satan's kingdom or is this from God's kingdom? You know, is this from the satanic realm or is this from a heavenly realm? And start identifying and taking these things that are coming in and people are doing to you or people are attacking with you or things that people are saying to you and start categorizing them. And you can come up with a number of different categories. But if you start putting it into, you know, making it cut and dry, none of this wishy-washy, well, maybe, well, they said this, they really said they wanted to do the right thing, but their actions were, actually doing the right thing. You know, they wanted to apologize, but they didn't apologize.
Right.
Yeah. And start categorizing, thinking about it, okay, just cut and dry. This is the way it is. And then start looking at the fruits of it.
Very
good. Is this a son of hell, or is this a child of God?
Yeah, and keep your heart out of it. I mean, I know that sounds weird, but your heart will deceive you. Like, let's take somebody, for instance, who's coming along and all of a sudden decides they want something better in their life, and they want to be a Christian. So they find a tape of Pastor Peter's preaching on baptism and sin, or they find a tape of Joel Osteen preaching on how to be saved and sin, you know, and Joel Osteen might sound a little better to their heart, you know, because it's easier to take, you know, he sounds like he loves me way more. Pastor Peter sounds like, man, I mean, he sounds like judgment, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And your heart can deceive you. And when your heart deceives you, that can condemn you because you'll start doing things that are contrary, and just like Jason's saying, contrary to the law, contrary to what's right and wrong, contrary to, you know, and the only way you can know is by reading the Word of God.
Right.
Okay, this guy talked in a really rough way and but what he's saying is truth. And this guy over here, you know, he talks so sweet and kind, but yet everything he said, I can't find it in the Bible. I mean,
your heart will definitely betray you. You cannot go on based on your feelings. I mean, everybody has feelings, but if you're going to obey the Word of God, you have to put that above your feelings.
Yeah, I think it was a couple of weeks ago we had a message, and Pastor Peters was talking, it was a Sunday pulpit message, and he was talking about how the feelings are the feminized version of, basically it's the feminized version of, and if a man is thinking with his feelings, you know, he's thinking with the feminine side. Now, that's how a woman can think and reason.
A woman can think and reason? Okay. Yeah, you're right. And we have to temper what we do, what we believe, how we're led by the Word. And that's one of the reasons that the world is, at least the America, is in such a disarray today. You know, it wasn't that long ago, but no king but King Jesus was the battle cry. You know, mm-hmm. On April 18th, 1775, you remember that day? British General Gage was pleading with the colonists to lay down their arms. That same night, Paul Revere arrived to warn of the approaching redcoats. You remember that day? It's not taught in our history anymore. No, but they'll teach you about how good the Jews are and how they get all the Nobel Peace Prizes. Hogwash. Yep. The next morning, after April 18th, British Major Pitcairn shouted to an assembled regiment of Minutemen, "Disperse, ye villains! Lay down your arms in the name of George, the sovereign king of England." Now, that used to be taught. And that was the command. How'd you like to be standing there on that Lexington Green, Jason, and hear that? "Disperse, ye villain Jason, ye villain Kyle, ye villain Richard. Lay down your arms in the name of George, the sovereign king of England." And do you remember what the reply was? The immediate response of Reverend Jonas Clark, Pastor Clark, Preacher Clark. "We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus." That was the response to tyranny just a couple hundred years ago.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
And it needs to be the response now. It really does. No sovereign but God and no king but Jesus. Well, guys, we'll have to end on that. We're out of time. Folks, you've been listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Our address, if you'd like to write in, send in comments. We ask for your support. This is a saint-sponsored network. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. We're on the web at scripturesforamerica.org. Men, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. We invite you to church tomorrow morning right here on scripturesforamerica.org.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them.
Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hides.